name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Father, we're so thankful to be here. Lord, for you allowing us to be here this morning. Lord, I pray for a special anointing this morning that you would speak to each and every one of us. Lord, that you would just open up our hearts, our minds to receive what you have for us. That we would be so focused, so hungry to hear from you and your word this morning. May your will be done now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm sorry, I forgot to announce that Samantha's got a sick family, so there's not going to be children's church. She texted me this morning. I meant to announce that at the beginning, but she said she had two kids wake up sick and she wasn't feeling well either. So kids, I promise I'll preach fast if you listen fast, okay? So you don't have to sit there too long, okay? We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 23 if you want to open up your Bibles to that. And this message has been brewing for about 2 weeks. And so I guess it's fitting because it's Labor Day, and what I want to talk to you today about is service and being a servant. And we all work hard through the week and we can get busy with our work and everything, but how many of us are really working for the kingdom of God? You know, Matthew 23 verse 1, it says, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them in everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. And so, you know, I've had bosses before that I didn't respect very much, and I've had bosses before that I respected a lot. And usually the ones that get my most respect are the ones that's willing to help. That don't just sit there and boss, that are willing to help. And verse 5 says, everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have all men call them rabbi. But you are to not be called rabbi, for you have only one master and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And so that's really the gist of what I want to talk to you about today, is the greatest among you will be your servant. When I look up the word servant, it says, one who executes the commands of another, especially of a master, a servant, an attendant, a waiter, one who serves food and drink. So someone that's executing the command. So basically, if your boss tells you to do something and you do it, you're a servant, right? You're executing the command of your boss. And here he's saying that the greatest among you will be a servant. So I wonder how many of us really have the heart and really have the mind of being a servant and serving those around us. You flip back a couple chapters to chapter 20, verse 25, and it says, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must first be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He gave his life. How many of us have given our life to Jesus Christ? How many of us have truly sold out and given Him everything. As I've been thinking about being a servant for many weeks now, and I realize that a servant, they have to leave their emotions behind. They have to leave their wants and their desires at the door because they're meeting the needs of others. You know, and so often I think we're not the servants that we're called to be because we're too concerned about ourselves, our desires, our wants, our needs. How is this affecting me in my life? As a servant, we're truly laying down our lives for others, where their needs, their desires, their wants are coming first. Many times I think many of us are just considering, how does this circumstance affect me, my family, my kids, my life, instead of the greater good? How is this affecting those around me? How is those affecting those in my community? Instead, we're always looking at me, myself, and I. Let's go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 1. It says, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He now showed them the full extent of His love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. Now, to understand this, y'all, during that time, usually who would wash your feet would be a slave or a servant. It wouldn't be an honored guest as Jesus was. It wouldn't be an honored guest to get up and wash your feet. And you think about back in their time, and they wore sandals in the dirt and everything, your feet got pretty nasty. You know, and Jesus gets up to begin to wash the feet of His disciples. Jesus replied, verse 7, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." I want you to think about what Peter's saying there, and the fact of how they looked at that position of someone washing their feet, of that being so lowly, that Peter, "No, you're never going to wash my feet. That's what the slaves do. That's what the servants do." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For He knew who was going to betray Him, and that was why He said, "Not every one of you was clean." When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Now, I think there's a lot more meaning in this than what we're going to get into, okay? But the main thing that I'm wanting you all to see is Jesus said, "Now that I've done this for you, you go and do likewise. You go and do likewise." That is us being His servant. That is us giving our lives. That's us saying, "Father, it doesn't matter if it's the lowly jobs that no one else wants to do. If you tell me to, Father, I will do it. I am willing." Is there a job at your house that you just hate to do? Like something, you know, I don't know why I hate unloading the dishwasher. I just hate it. I'd rather load the dishwasher than unload it. And it's funny because Madeline hates loading the dishwasher, but she doesn't mind unloading it. So it's like, Madeline, we got a deal. You unload and I'll load, okay? But there's certain jobs and there's certain things that you don't want to do, right? They're nasty. Okay, any of you ever have to clean a drain? It's not fun, you know? It's not fun. Our bathroom, you guys can see, I've lost all my hair, and it all went to the drain, I think, and what little bit of hair that I, but I've had to take and open up that drain and pull stuff out of it. You know, it's like, I'm the only one in the house that'll do it. Nobody else in the house will do it, you know? There's jobs at home that we all have to do. Some of y'all that have cows, what you got to do to them cows and goats and all that? No, I don't have the stomach for it. I couldn't do it, you know. There's certain jobs you don't want to do. And I want you to think about those jobs. You know, for your job, it might be the laundry. It might be, I don't know, something gross, you know. And that's what Jesus, the job that he was doing of washing the disciples' feet. But he said, you go and do likewise. You go and do this. If you truly want to be my disciple, my servant, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. But y'all, how many of us in our lives, we just think, how's this affecting me? How's this hurting me? How's this helping me? What benefit am I going to get from this? You go back to where the first thing that we read, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they lorded over them, and they loved the place of honor, and they loved to be greeted. And I wonder sometimes when we serve if we're doing it just for the recognition, just for the pat on the back. Or are we doing it out of humility because we truly love those around us? John 13:34-35 says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I want you, when I was thinking about this and I thought, you know, for people that I love, to serve them is not that bad. I mean, it can be, but it's not as bad, right? Because if you love someone, you're gonna do whatever it takes. If they're at the hospital, if they're at home sick in bed, if you have to clean up their mess, when you love someone, it's okay because you're giving of your life to them. I don't know if I ever changed a diaper before my kids were born. And to be honest with you, don't ask me to change your kid's diaper because I don't like doing it, you know? But because I love my kids, I changed their diaper. I didn't want to. Now, Crystal's down in the nursery, so she might dispute that. But I promise I did change a few diapers in my day, okay? Not very many. She did most of them, but I did. Why? Because I didn't want my kids sitting in that. They need their diaper changed. I changed it because I loved them, because I cared about them. Y'all, people that we love, people that we care about, it shouldn't be that hard to be a servant for them, to do things for them. You know, many of you have a job. Why do you go to work? It's to provide for your family. It's to earn a living. It's to do what needs to be done. If I could retire, I'd retire. I'd be fine with retiring. I can find plenty of stuff to do, you know, but I have to work to provide for my family because I love them and I don't want them out on the street, you know. When you love someone, it's easier to serve. And so you look at these verses and he says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? By being a servant. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, I wonder if the problem, I think there's more than one problem here, but if one of the problems could be, because we just don't really love very many people. So we're not really going to serve. We're really not going to help. We're really not going to do. We're not going to go out of our way and affect our lives and what we want to do because we just really don't love that many people. If y'all will, open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. And it says, love must be sincere. You know, to be a true servant is not just that manufactured, but love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. You know, it's hard being devoted to one another in brotherly love because we don't really know each other the way that we want to know each other. We don't really have the relationship that we should have with each other. And then it says, honor one another above yourself. Okay? This is key. Honor one another above yourself. Y'all, in our world, in our society, that doesn't happen anymore. We're not really honoring one another above ourselves. It's, how's this hurting my feelings? How's this affecting me? This is going to mess up my plans. Instead of looking at the greater good, at God, what can you do here, whether it includes me or not, or whether it's what I want to do or not, or what I, or not what I want to do. Verse 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. It's funny because I was going to preach this message a couple weeks ago, and then I think I found out it wasn't complete, because that next week I heard three different sermons on being a servant. And some of them were really good, but one of them, it says, not lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. It was a woman that had thought, I don't got my watch on. I told y'all I was going to go fast, and now I'm slowing down. A woman I heard on Joyce Meyer, she'd followed Joyce Meyer for like 15 years, and she said she quit getting anything out of any of her sermons. And she thought Joyce had lost her anointing. So she said she started praying for Joyce, and said she was still going to the conferences, and she thought something was wrong with Joyce. And she said then the Lord spoke to her and said, you're so full, you have no room for anything, because you always go, just give me, give me, give me, and you never take and use what you're learning. And she said, I realized that I was approaching things the wrong way. And she said, I started getting the attitude of being a servant and serving. And she said, all at once, I realized the problem wasn't with Joyce, it was with me, because she was so full and nothing was flowing out of her. And y'all, I think sometimes we just want to kick back and hear good sermons and maybe read a good little devotional and just get spoon-fed all the time. But we're lacking a zeal now, and we have no longer a spiritual fervor for God and for serving and for doing the work of the Lord. It says, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. You know, I always think it's crazy how lives and communities have changed, because used to, houses were built, you know, 100 years ago, they had great big front porches, right? Now when houses are built, many of them don't even have a front porch. And what do we have? We have privacy fences. We don't want to know our neighbor. We don't want to talk to our neighbor. We don't want them knowing our business. Where used to, you had a big front porch and everybody come over and visit and hang out. And, you know, well, do we practice hospitality anymore? Are we okay with having those relationships? Verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position, do not be conceited. I really think all this ties in with the foot washing of rejoicing with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, and being there for people. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You know what? Living at peace with everyone means sometimes not getting your way. It means sometimes not getting what you want. But being a servant. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And the whole reason why I wanted to read these verses was right here, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Y'all, it's easy to be self-centered, is it not? Nobody has to tell me to be self-centered. It's easy to be self-centered, but to get outside of myself and say, Father, what would you have me do? Father, what would you have me do today? How should I handle this situation, Lord? How should I help this person, Lord? You guys, unless you come to the elders' meetings, you really don't know all that this church does. And honestly, it's not even through the elders' meetings, because a lot of times it's a 2-minute meeting at the back of the church. Hey, so-and-so needs help. So-and-so needs help. But I had a phone call. I missed a phone call yesterday from someone that this church helped, and that was affected by the floods. And he said, you have no idea how much I appreciate what you've done, and told me the progress that was taking place on his house and rebuilding his house. His house was completely destroyed. Y'all, that's great that we're able to do that, but then I also think, how many of us are? It's a lot easier to throw a $20 bill, a $50 bill, a $100 bill here, but to get up and actually go, and actually do, and actually serve, and actually help. Now, I'm not discounting. I'm thankful for people that give and are willing to give, and for some that might be all they can do is give a dollar, give them a five, give it. That might be all you can do, but for me, I hadn't showed up over there yet to help hang sheetrock. I hadn't went and put one nail into the wall. Y'all, why? Well, I'm just too busy. Really? I can make times for things that is important to me. Are you guys that way? You make time for things that are important to you. Well, what's the real reason then? It's because I'm selfish. Because I want my time. Because my day off is my day off. I work all week. You guys can throw stones at me now. I'm just being real honest. What's going on with all of us? Are you a servant? Are you doing what the Lord has told you to do? And when I say this, church, I'm not making a law up here and saying, everybody better go help a flood victim this week, and everybody better go to the soup kitchen and serve food. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, are you allowing the Lord to lead your life and saying, Father, I'm in your hands. You tell me what to do. You tell me what to do today. Maybe it's go home and pray. Maybe it's go home and read your Bible. Maybe it's to go hang out with family. Maybe it's to take a nap because you need recharging. But maybe it really is picking up your chainsaw, grabbing your mower, grabbing your weed eater, going over to your neighbor's house and taking them some food. Maybe it's that. John 12:24 says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So I read quite a bit there, but I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if we die, it produces many seeds. What that tells me is that I need to quit. I need to die to my desires and my wants that don't line up with the Word of God, that line up with selfishness. And if I do that, then I'll start producing fruit that matters, producing what really matters. We're almost done, but I'd also heard this story, And this woman was really struggling with depression and having a hard time, and she wanted to go to her pastor for counseling. And the pastor was booked up, and he said it was going to be like 2 weeks before he could see her. And she was struggling so bad, and he said, you know, well, he says, I think he knew, I hope I'm telling the story right, he knew that she was a really good cook, and she made really good cookies. And he said, you know, until I can meet with you, why don't you start baking some cookies for your neighbors and friends and people in your life? And she thought it sounded crazy. Well, like 3 or 4 weeks went by, and the lady didn't show up for a counseling thing. And a few more weeks went by, and he finally seen her, and he said, where have you been? What's going on? She's like, oh, I've been too busy to even come. And he's like, too busy? What? Well, what's going on? She's like, you know, when I quit focusing on myself and I started focusing on the needs of others, she said, I started off making cookies for some people, for some neighbors, and then I started cooking for some people that were sick, and then I started, and she said, when I took my eyes off myself and started focusing on others, she said, I'm not struggling anymore. Y'all, that's the problem with so many of us. We're so focused on our needs, our wants, our desires, and we're living in pain, and we're suffering, and we're depressed, instead of just getting focused on, Father, what would you have me do? And looking outside of ourselves and what really matters and how we can help others if we die to ourselves. So I'm going to ask you this morning, what do you think needs to die in your life today? I mean, unless the kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. What needs to die in your life today? I probably got a long list, to be honest. And second, I wonder sometimes if we don't serve because we're too scared of what that nobody notices or what all we're giving up, because nobody's going to take care of us. Nobody's going to meet our needs. In Hebrews 6, verse 10, it says, God is not unjust. Let me start over. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. God's not going to forget what you're doing. God's not going to forget what you're doing. He's going to look and He's going to see. And here it says that He will not forget, but He wants us to show diligence to the very end and continue to help, continue to serve. I'm finishing up. I think I've shared with y'all before. I know I have, but probably most of you forgot. There was a young man that I knew in his early 20s, and he'd served the Lord as a teenager and for a while. And he decided he was tired and worn out, and he was done. He's in his early 20s, mind you. And he started having heart problems and different things. And I went to see him in the hospital, and I just began to talk to him about the Lord and everything. And he just said, you know, Pete, I've given God however many years it was. And he said, I'm tired and it's my turn. I want to do what I want to do now. Y'all, I think sometimes we can get that attitude. We might not speak it out. We might not say it as blatantly as that young man did. But you know, you've served and you've lived for the Lord 5, 10, 20, 30, 50 years. And we can just become complacent and we can become lazy. I've done my part. No, that's not what God's called us to do. That's not what God's called us to do. And I'm ending with this, Psalms 37, verse 3, and it says, trust in the Lord and do good. dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. So the reason why I wanted to read that verse, trust in the Lord and do good. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So this Labor Day message, I'm telling you, we need to labor. We don't need to give up. We don't need to stop. We don't need to be lazy. We need to lay our emotions, our desires, our wants aside and line everything up with what God's will is, what God would have us do. Even if it's hard, even if it's an inconvenience, even if it's not always easy. It's not always easy to be up here preaching. It's not always easy when everybody's getting together and I got to stay home because I need to study and prepare my sermon. But I am so grateful that God has allowed me to do this. I don't deserve it. And it is a true honor. And it's an honor to have you guys here listening to what the Lord's speaking to me that I might can share. Y'all, just because something's not always easy doesn't mean that it's not worth doing. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would understand what you're calling us to do. Just as Jesus came to serve and set an example for each and every one of us, Lord, you're calling each one of us to that same service. Father, I pray now that in my life, in the lives of everybody in this room, Lord, that we would understand what you want us to do. That we would stop being selfish and so self-centered and understand that we need to lay our lives down. Father, may you have your way with each and every heart, with each and every mind. Lord, that we would not grow weary, that we would not become lazy, that there would be a love inside of us that only you can give us for those around us, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, a love for the lost. Father, that your word says that to do your will is not a burden, but that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And Father, may we come to understand that following your will and doing your will, that it's not a burden. But may we get ourselves out of the way. May this flesh truly die. May your Holy Spirit speak to each and every one of us on what we can do this week to bring honor and glory to you. May we not labor in vain for the things of this world, but may we labor for things that have eternal value. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer for anything this morning, feel free to come up and spend some time alone with the Lord. If you've never met Jesus Christ and accepted Him as your personal Savior, this is the day. This is the time. However the Lord would lead. I encourage you to go home maybe. And if you... please don't feel overwhelmed. Okay? And if you're feeling overwhelmed, I encourage you go home and read John chapter 15. Okay? Because that's really where it's at. It's us being plugged into the Father. Being plugged in and just allowing His Holy Spirit to flow through us. And I hope you guys have a wonderful afternoon. I hope you're off work tomorrow and you can enjoy tomorrow of sleeping in or getting together or doing whatever it is you enjoy doing. But I would encourage you this week, just say, Father, lead me. Show me. Go home and read John chapter 15. You're off work tomorrow, okay? It's not gonna hurt you. Go home and read it and study it. Maybe read it this afternoon, read it again tomorrow morning, and just pray and ask God to speak to you. Y'all have a blessed day.